Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you for the word of God. The entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I thank you also because your word is forever settled in heaven. Let it be settled also in our hearts, even on this day, in Jesus' name. The word of God will go forth. It will not return void. It will prosper in its purpose and the pleasure of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you all glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Consecration day 4. Open ye the gates, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's the word for today. And that's the word that the Lord is calling for today. And we're going to start here this prophetic declaration. So I will be making a declaration in the word of the Lord today, not my own word, but something that the Lord's already said. And we're going to echo it and enforce it. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, and we'll start at verse 1. In that day, such as today, shall this song be sung, it says, well, in the land of Judah, well, I say in heavenly Mount Zion, which is the gathering of God's people. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Well, open ye the gates, that the people of the Lord may enter in. Also, open ye the gates, that the King of glory may enter in. That's a lot of things that we're going to declare today. So just rejoice in the presence of the Lord. God has something good for us today. Hallelujah. My doctrine shall drop this morning as a dew of heaven. Hallelujah. Well, that's a prophetic declaration. I've prayed about it already. And I have the liberty of the Spirit to say so. That my doctrine indeed, because it's not my doctrine. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth today. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. And my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. My speech also shall distill as the dew, and as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Gonna be some showers. Hallelujah. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. That's right. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Well, let's talk about what the Lord has put in my mouth today. Hallelujah. For you. Just for you. Amen. It's not for anyone else. It's just for you. I want you to see it like that. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, and wakeneth morning by morning, wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And the Lord has opened my ear. Hallelujah. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Praise the Lord. So the Lord has put a word in my mouth just for you today. And as we are closing out this quarter of this year, this third quarter, we are also opening up. There's a double measure of something that's happening. We're entering into the fourth quarter. That's a new beginning in itself. And we're also entering into this third year of these online ministry, if you want to call it that, that the Lord has given us, you know. And so we've got a lot to jubilate about. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about the opening of gates today. Open ye the gates is what the Lord said. Now, that's what the Lord declared it. Now, I want to remind you that in the beginning, God would say certain things like this. Let there be, or he might say, well, let the waters that are above the heavens be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. He would just say, let, and things will begin to come together. Now, let means cause it to come to pass. So, again, this morning, well, let's see what the Lord is going to say. I'll be talking about different kinds of gates that the Lord is commanding to be opened up today. Hallelujah. Various gates that need to be opened. First of all, the flood gates of heaven. That's why we played that song. Open the flood gates of heaven and let it rain. Can you imagine that? You know, when the Lord opens the floodgates of heaven, all kinds of things, good things, all good and perfect gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. But before your mind starts to wander on the good things, let me tell you the best thing that the Lord is calling forth at this time in the opening of the gates. The spiritual gates, here's how he calls it for. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. This is the number one thing that the Lord is opening up right now. The number one thing, praise God. Before you begin to think of anything else, think of this, saith the Lord. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Now, this is the floodgates of heaven. Let the earth open up and let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, this is the word again, let. And in the beginning, when God said let, well, everything had to come together. Once the Lord speaks that word, let it be so, it must be so. And the Holy Spirit, when he looked and saw there was chaos, the Bible says the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Well, that was chaotic. The Holy Spirit doesn't like chaos. And so the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. And then the word of God came forth. Now, for the Lord to bring forth the power that is beneath the let, the Holy Spirit must move first. And so the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is the one that's been bringing you to the place of consecration the last few days because he wants to move over your hearts and over your souls. Hallelujah. And the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to do in this time that is calling for the opening of the gates. He wants to pour down from the heavens, from the skies above. He wants to pour down righteousness. Hallelujah. And he wants to bring down salvation. So there's going to be a revival of souls getting saved, even on this platform right here. Hallelujah. You're going to see souls coming to the Lord. I've been praying about it. You know, I mean, there is nothing more, I mean, joyful or joyous in heaven than a soul comes to the Lord. Angels of God rejoice. Heavens rejoice. You know, so in as much as we are building the body of Christ, and God instructed us to do that, we are looking forward for salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation to be poured out, said, let the heavens and the earth collaborate. Glory to God. And let there come forth salvation and righteousness. Let it spring forth together. Now, on the one hand, the people that sit in darkness will begin to see great light. On the one hand, the people that are groping, you know, in darkness, they begin to come to the light. Salvation begin to be poured out. And righteousness will begin to be reigning in the lives of even God's people. Praise the Lord. I, the Lord, have created it. Just like he did in the beginning. All the things that he created. Back again. He never quit. Jesus said, my Father walketh hitherto and I walk. God's never quit in his creation. But again, he's creating something new. Remember, the theme of this consecration was, do something new, Lord. Well, I, the Lord, have created it. There's something new that he's doing. Revival of salvation. Revival of righteousness. You know, it doesn't look like it. If you look around you today, the world is wicked. They spit in the face of God. They do wickedness in his face and all that. But, well, that's the world. Gross darkness will cover the world. Isaiah 60 says, but for us, there's going to be light. There's always going to be light. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord. His glory filled the temple. And he saw the cherubims going back and forth and so forth. And then when they declared, what did they see? Well, they said, the earth is full of the glory of the Lord. That's what they declared. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, the earth is full of the glory of God. Now, you can choose to only see the darkness, and it depends on the realm in which you are. Now, these seraphims, there was darkness in the earth, but all they saw was the glory of God. Because that's the realm in which they were. And so we are going to, you know, enter into his glory. Never mind the darkness around you. Isaiah 60 says, gross darkness will be in the world, darkness upon the world, gross darkness upon the people. But upon you, glory to God, shall be seen the glory of God. The glory of God is coming upon you. Therefore, he says, arise and shine. Thank you, Jesus. When darkness covers the whole earth at the time, see, this is prophetic. The time in which darkness covers the whole world, which as we see is right now, you know, that's the same time in which the glory of God is going to rise upon you. Amen. Now, it is the light shines brightest when it is darkest. We know that. So the light is going to really shine. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 1 and verse 11, some of God's alarders and patrollers that were sent forth like these seraphims to check out the earth. Well, what did they report? They said, you know, we have walked to and fro. In other words, they've gone the length and the breadth through the earth. And they said, behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Well, I guarantee you, the earth was not at rest. The earth was not sitting still. There was turmoil and problem everywhere. But yet, they chose to report the goodness of the Lord. The psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Well, really, yes, but not for everybody. Because the presence of the Lord is everywhere. Jehovah Shammah means his presence is everywhere. He even said, if I go down to hell or anywhere else, I can't I can't escape your presence. But yet, he says the presence of the Lord, There's fullness of joy and his presence is everywhere. How come then everybody doesn't have fullness of joy? Well, we have it. Those of us who are really in his presence. So the first thing God's going to do as we enter into this pivotal period, my goodness, is he's going to pour down righteousness. You know, people have been talking about revival. Well, God is going to pour down righteousness. He's going to open up the floodgates of heaven. And furthermore, the number two, God wants the gates to your souls to be opened. You know, even when the Lord, see, there's something when the Lord created the man in Genesis 2 and 7, he put in him his spirit. The Bible says he breathed upon him and the man became a living soul. Breathed upon him the spirit of God. From that point on, you know, there was something created in the man that will continue to long for the spirit of God. And when the fullness of the spirit of God is not there, there is a longing. And when the right longing is not there, there is a void. And so even for those who have come in to the Lord, those of you who are believers already saved by his grace and walking with God and everything, there is still a longing. There is always a longing. And the gates of your soul must be opened if that longing has stopped. That's right. And why can that longing stop sometimes? Well, people get sidetracked, distracted by the cares of this life. Jesus talked about it himself. He said, the seed that fell among thorns, they are like the cares of this life. The cares of the life will rise up and choke the light out of the people. Well, running after this, running after that. And we must do these things. As long as we are in this world, we must leave this world. I mean, with all the things, but we don't have to live like the world. We live in the world, but we don't have to live as do the world. Yeah, we have to pay our bills. We have to go to school. We have to go to work. We have to do this. We have to do that. You have a business. You have all these things. You have to raise kids. You have to do all these things. Yet in all of those things, we can still find the Lord. Our hearts must yearn after the Lord. Even as Enoch, he walked with God in the midst of having sons and daughters, and in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, because nobody at that time cared about the Lord too much, you know, but he sought the Lord and he walked with God. And so we also are walking with God. Your souls must open up, ladies and gentlemen, to the things of God. Open your mouth wide, saith the Lord, and I will fill it. Well, open the gates of your soul and let the Lord come on in. Psalms 24. Let's read it together. And verse 7. Hallelujah. Ha. This is the one for your soul. This is what God wants to do. He said, the everlasting doors, those are the doors to your, the gates of your soul. They must open up for the Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The first person that needs to come into the open gates is a King of glory. Who is this King of glory? He asks. Well, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Again, he declares, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He asks again. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Now, we must open, God has opened the floodgates of heaven in Isaiah 45 and 8. God is asking, also declaring that the gates to your souls be open. And all the things that God is declaring, has declared, I will be declaring also in this room today. Because God already said it. So all I have to do is say it, just like he said it. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said it the best. He said, look, my doctrine is not mine. The son can say nothing except what the father tells him. Praise the Lord. So once the Lord has spoken it, according to Psalm 68 and verse 11, God gave the word. And great is the company that publishes it. You know, so I am here to publish the word of the Lord today. Well, there's other physical gates that God will open up as well. There are some gates, you know, and this is the one that people relate to most, because most of us are dwelling in these lower levels, and that's all we can really relate to. The gates that are holding us back from really, you know, coming into the fullness of the things that God has for us. But it's more than just physical things. But most people, you know, they dwell in that physical level. So God say, okay, that's fine. I'll deal with that as well. So there are gates that God has opened up for you, even at the physical level. And here is how he says that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 2, this is the way the Lord calls it out. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. Hallelujah. And cut in sunder the bars of iron. You know, gates are intended to keep people out or keep people in. You can't or keep something in. You can't just naturally go through those gates when they are locked. But I'm going to show you, tell you a story in a little bit. But these gates that God wants to open for us, you know, he's going to do it by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord that moved upon the face of the deep. It is the Spirit of the Lord that's calling for this opening of the gates. It's not me. It is the Spirit of the Lord. But because, you know, the Lord says, look, I am the Lord that confirmeth the word of my servant. Why would the Lord do that? Why would he do such a thing? Well, because the servant is speaking the word of the Lord. The servant cannot speak his own word. An ambassador cannot speak their own thing. They can only speak what their country speaks. They cannot represent themselves. They can only speak as a company, as a country, their country of origin speaks. You know, so let's take a look at Psalm 118 and verses 19 and 20. Remember, we're talking and dealing today with gates that the Lord must open up. Praise the Lord. And as you are listening to this, engage in the Spirit, because the Lord is going to pour down righteousness and something even in this room today. Open to me, he says, Psalm 118 and verse 19, the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. And I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. So these gates must be opened up in our life first for righteousness and then for these other things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, let me say it to you this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the gates of righteousness. Hallelujah. Which is what he's talking about here. Open to me the gates of righteousness. You know, before you seek the opening of the other gates, seek first the opening of the gates of righteousness. And then all these other things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. The Lord has a way. His way is in the whirlwind. Hallelujah. And he knows what he is doing. Psalm 107, verses 15 to 16. This is our declaration for you today, that the Lord has actually already done it. We just need to declare it and enforce it and walk in that victory. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. The psalmist lamented. He looked around and saw that the people did not know how to exercise themselves in the beauty of holiness. They did not know how to make the praises of God glorious. And he lamented. And he said, oh, that man would praise the Lord. Why? Well, because of what he has already done. For his wonderful works, for his goodness, and his wonderful works to the children of men. And what are those works? For he has broken, that's right, not that he will break, but he has already broken the gates of brass, and he has already cut asunder the bars of iron. Glory to God. So we got flawed gates of heaven that must be opened unto us this morning. We got spiritual gates that must be open to our soul for the King of Glory to come in. You know, we got physical gates that will be open. We got gates of brass that must be open. We got bars of iron that will be cut down. Glory to God. And the Lord is going to do all those things because he already done them. And we're going to proclaim them and enforce them this morning. And when the gates are open, then what must you do? Well, the Lord said, go through then. Praise God. Go through once the gates are open. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10. Go through, he said. Go through the gates. Hallelujah. Well, you know, you can't go through any gates that are locked up. How do you do that? Unless the gates will open to you by itself. But we're going to talk about that in a bit. But this is the declaration of the Lord for us today. You must go through the gates. That's what your commander in chief has spoken. Go through the gates. And then he says to some people, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Those that bear the banner that go front, in the front of the people, you got to prepare the way of the Lord. That's what I'm doing here today. We are cast out the highway, gather out the stones, and we are lifting up a standard for the people. You know, none of this mediocre stuff anymore. You know, we are going to emerge. We're going to experience the quantum leap that God has promised. But we must go through the gates, and there are some gates that have been closed. Those gates were closed up. You know, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of heaven shall not prevail. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that when you are on the paths of righteousness, right? And you are going toward heaven, well, the gates of hell will try to close up on you, hem you in, hedge you in, so that you can't do anything and you can't get ahead. According to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, listen to what we must do when the Lord opens up gates unto you. This is for the physical. When the Lord opens up the gates for you, here's what you must do. Praise the Lord. The Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, Genesis 13 and 14, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward, because I've opened the gates unto you. I've set before you an open door. So look and see, and let me know what you can see that's ahead of you. For all the land that thou seest will I give to you and to thy seed forever. But you got to see it. Well, can you see it? What is it that the Lord has opened up for you? Say, open up the two leaved gates. Can you see it? Well, open it up. Can you see? Well, look around you. Look ahead of you. But don't go back, saith the Lord. Do not go back. Remember Lot's wife. Luke 17 and 32. You must go forward. That's what the Lord told them when they were at the Red Sea. You know, they thought in their hearts to go back to Egypt. Why have you brought us here to die in this wilderness? And there are graves for us who have died in Egypt. Would it be better for us, they thought, that we would die in Egypt rather than in this wilderness? But the Lord said unto Moses in Exodus 14 and 13, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Ha! Hallelujah. So, once the Lord opens the gates, you must go forward. You must go through the gates and you must go forward. Hallelujah. God wants us to go forward and not backward. Praise the Lord. Let me read some things to you about what God is doing with this opening of gates and for you to go through, saith the Lord. The Lord is the one that's commanding the gates to be opened. And yet, but your portion is you must go through. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to read to you verses 24 and 25. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Hallelujah. I'm he that frustrated the tokens of liars and all those gates that closed up against you. I'm going to make them mad. I turn even wise men backward and make their knowledge to be foolish. Glory to God. And furthermore, he confirms the word of his servant, even as it is this day. The Lord will confirm the word that I speak here today because it's not my word. It is his word. Glory to God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 54, you know, verses 2 and 3, the Lord wants you to do certain things. And this is what you must do. You must think big. Praise the Lord. That's what God told Abraham. You know, don't see narrowly. Expand the scope of your faith horizon. The farther out you can see, the more I can give you. But you got to see it for me to give it to you. Dream big. Hallelujah. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your sticks. Hallelujah. For thou shalt break forth, and this is an increase that's coming for you. Hallelujah. You will break forth on the right. You will break forth on the left. Even your seed will come up. Hallelujah. They inherit the Gentiles and make desolate places to be inhabited. God says, go forward. God says, enlarge the place of your tents. God says, think big and think bigger. For whatever you can think, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and 20, whatever you can ask, whatever you can think, God can surpass it. Praise the Lord. So why limit ye the Lord? Am I a God at hand or a God afar off? Can ye number me as men number things in the natural? I am the Lord that created all things. Is there anything that is too hard for me to do? Hallelujah. God is calling us forth. March forward. He said, go forward. Think big. See bigger. Hallelujah. And I will do it and give it to you. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, we read this interesting text, you know, that Moses was praying to the Lord. He said, now, therefore, I pray thee, Exodus 33 and verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Hallelujah. You have to know the way to go. When the Lord is telling you go forward, you must know the way. And he's the one that's going to show you that way. You can't just go forward, you know, foolishly without the strategy of the Holy Spirit. He will show you the way. Show me now thy way that I may know thee, O Lord. And he said, consider these thy people. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So even at this time, as we are trusting the Lord, as we are entering into this new phase, the Lord says something good is happening and occurring and coming to you. And I'm going to share this story with you of how God can cause the gates to open up to you of their own accord. That's right. You don't need any. It doesn't matter how many padlocks and locks and chains and stuff they put on those gates. They will open up to you because the Lord is calling for the opening of the gates. In the book of Acts chapter 12, and we talked about this story a little bit yesterday. I gave you also a testimony along those lines. But I want to read this story to you in the book of Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now, those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, I don't know how many those are, of soldiers, but there's a lot, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, that same night, well, Herod was planning to bring him forth in the morning, that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, this man, Herod, he knew that, you know, something could happen. That's put a lot of soldiers around this guy. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up and say, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. I told you a story yesterday, a real life story, that chains fell off the hands of the one young lady that was being prepared to be sacrificed because the church was praying. And I said to the Lord, I can't help this sister. I pray that you send an angel to deliver her. And that's exactly what the Lord did. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind up thy sandals. And so he did. He said, what story are you talking about? Well, listen to yesterday's replay. You hear the story there. And so he gathered up his, put on his sandals. And the angel said to him, cast thy garment around thee and follow me. And as they went out, you know, Peter didn't know what was going on. You know, I mean, was wondering, is this true, what the angel is doing? And he thought he was in a vision. But when they were past the first and second ward of all the, you know, prisons, you know, and so forth, and all the guards and things that were there, they came unto the iron gate. Now, listen to this. The iron gate that leaded into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Ha! Because the Lord has said, open ye the gates. And it didn't matter how, you know, how locked up those gates were. Did not matter how many chains and padlocks and things they put on those gates. As the angel of the Lord approached with Peter, the gates opened up of their own accord. I guarantee you, everything in God's creation, things that have life and things that don't have life, they obey the voice of the master. Once the master speaks, open ye the gates, all those gates will open up. And these gates, the massive gates that led into the city, they opened up of their own accord. And they went out and they passed through. Hallelujah. So this is what I want to bring out in this story. The gates will open up before you of his own accord, but you must pass through. Don't sit there and wondering. You must take the step of faith and pass through and go through the gates. That's what the Lord is saying. Go through the gates. Go through. And so when the gates opened up to them, they went through and they passed through one street. And then the angel said, my work here is done. And he departed. Hallelujah. And Peter had to go on his own. Because now the work of the angel was done. The angel's work was to loose you from the chains. Bring the light into your situation first. The light though. The light must first of all shine. See, that's what God did. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. First, the light had to shine upon Peter, and then that light is actually what breaks those chains. Once the light comes, and what does Isaiah 60 say? Thy light has come. Ladies and gentlemen, your light has come. And the light that is lightning upon you, even during this consecration, is going to break the chains that are holding you back. Glory to God. And the word of the Lord will say to you, arise, strap on your sandals, strap on your garments, and follow me. You got to follow the Lord. He's the one that's going to give you the direction. But as you follow him, then all the gates will be opening up to you. As thou goest, I will open up the gates unto you, saith the Lord. They will open up even by its own self. And the Lord said, I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. Glory to God. Why? Well, because who is it that Jesus said it himself? I am he that has the keys of David. And I open and no man can shut. Let's read it together. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy and that is true, he that hath the key of David, and that openeth and no man can shut, and that shutteth and no man can open. Now, when the Lord opened those gates, nobody can shut it. But I'll tell you something, what God showed me about those gates too a while back. I'll tell you that in a minute. I know thy works, he said, and I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Glory to God. Now, there are some things, though, that can shut those gates. Unbelief, you know, and distractions. Now, I saw the gates, you know, spring wide open, and then I saw some hinges on those gates, and it's like those things were creaking back, you know, like, no, those gates need to stay open. And by praising the Lord and declaring the word of God constantly, you will keep those gates open. Otherwise, they want to try to swing back and close up again because it has these hinges in them. And, but the Lord said, no, I can keep those alive and keep those open. But see, you have to partner with the Lord in keeping it open. Everything that God's doing for us and doing in our realm through us, he wants us to partner with him. You got to keep on believing. You step out of the boat in faith, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and you keep on believing that you can walk upon the water. The moment you look away from Jesus, the moment you see the boisterous waves, you will begin to say, I can't walk on water. And then you begin to drown. But as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord, you take the next step and the next step, you keep walking. Walk on, Peter. You can walk on that water. Praise the Lord. When Jesus took the little boy's lunch and he blessed it, Jesus himself, as I've often said to the people, Jesus himself did not feed the multitudes. Everybody said Jesus fed the multitude, but he didn't. Jesus gave it to the disciples. It was actually the disciples that fed the multitudes. There is a blessing that God is bringing upon you, you know, and there is a part that you must play. We've got to partner with the Lord in this thing that Jesus is doing. Partner with the Lord. Hallelujah. And as the disciples, they had to keep on believing. As Peter and James and John and the rest of them were dishing out the pieces of fish and the piece of bread that was in their hands, and they set all these people in 50s and companies on the ground, they had to keep believing. You know, you have to dish it out. These things were multiplying in the hands of the disciples, not in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of the disciples. Jesus only put a blessing on it, put it in their hands and walked away. That's all he did. But now it's in the hands of the disciples and they must do something with it. Hallelujah. Now there's a blessing and there's an anointing in here today that you must tap into. Glory to God. And in a minute, I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to tell you too what to do. You have to tap into this anointing that God is bringing for you today to break every chain, open the gates, but you must walk through. Praise the Lord. I gave this analogy a few years ago at our church here, and also I've spoken it in this room one or two times. I said, look, the ball is in your hand and the clock is winding down. Now, this is, you know, taken after the game of basketball. The shot clock is winding down. The ball is in your hand. And the game is on the line. You can either put up the shot or give up the ball. See? Now, some people live for those moments. There are some players that live for those moments. They want the ball in that moment. Others, they will give it up and pass the ball. Because they're thinking, well, I don't want to be the one to lose the game. You know, the game is tied, or maybe you are 1 point behind the opponent. You have a chance, you know, or you're even 2 points behind the opponent. You have a chance to put up a 3-point shot and win the game, or you could lose the game. And so the ones, you know, that are timid in their hearts, they're not going to put up the shot because they're thinking, I don't want to be the one to lose the game. And they won't put up the shot. Well, the ones that are bold in their hearts, they live for that moment. They train for that moment. They say, give me the ball and clear out. Praise God. And they will put up that shot and they will sink that ball. Nothing but the bottom of the net. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every shot you don't take is a shot you already missed. If you don't take the shot, you already missed it. So in this next phase that we are going into, step out by faith. Hallelujah. Take the shot. You might just make it. Instead of thinking, well, I'll miss it. Well, what if you make it? If you make it, you'll be a hero. And the Lord said, you will make it because I am with you. Hallelujah. And you will make it. So put up the shot. Praise the Lord. Now, there's anointing you must tap into today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call forth the breaking of the bars, the breaking of the gates, and the opening of the gates. But you have to tap into that anointing. How do you tap into that anointing? Well, here is all I want you to do today. Tap into the anointing. You're not going to give an offering. There's no such thing on this platform. And some people, when they hear tap into anointing, they're thinking of that. No. You're going to do as I say. You tap into the anointing. Praise the Lord. Now, I've already tapped into the anointing because the Lord gave me the word. And the Bible says the Lord gives the word. Psalm 68 and verse 11. Now, the Lord already gave the word. He's looking for publishers of the same. Now, will you be a publisher? Well, that's how you tap into the anointing. Glory to God. Now, you cannot say your word. That's not going to work. According to Lamentation 3 and 37, who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded the thing? So you can't say your own words, but you must say what the Lord has already said. That's how it works. You don't need to worry about how it is going to come to pass. That's not your concern, you know, and that's, you know, beyond your pay grade, if I can put it that way. You know, that's God's concern. What you need to do is the what, not the how. What has God said? Well, tap into the anointing by saying the same thing and believing his word. That's how you tap into the anointing. Now, how he's going to bring it to pass, that's up to him. Remember, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. One man in John chapter 5, he came year after year, season after season. He came waiting for the moving of the water by the angel, which was the grace and mercy of God in that time. But there were a great number of impotent folk, but only one of them was healed season by season. One person only, you know, and this man was expecting, but he kept coming. The good thing was he kept coming, but he kept getting disappointed every time. And this time on which Jesus, he was going to encounter the master, and Jesus stepped up to him and said, "Would thou be made whole?" And the man looking at Jesus and said, "What kind of question is that? We are all here waiting for the stirring of the pool, waiting for that angel to move." But he began to tell Jesus, he said, "Look, I've tried multiple times, but I can't get in fast enough because somebody gets in ahead of me each time, and only one person that gets in first will be healed." But Jesus says to him, and this is what I got to say to you today, never mind how God is going to do it. Most of the time, that's our problem. We're also always focused on one thing that we think that's the way God's going to do it. That's none of your concern. This man, the only way he thought his healing was going to come was the angel must come and stir the pool, and I must be the first person to get in the pool. There's a lot of conditions, a lot of if and if and if. If the angel comes, if he stirs the pool, and if I'm the first, that's it. And that's the only way he thought he was going to get his healing. But the master is right here. And Jesus said, today, it's not about the angel. It's not about the water. Forget the angel and forget the water. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you put God in a box just because that's the way somebody else did it. That's the way the, you know, healing was pronounced. But somebody else, that's the way you got the healing. That person got their healing last time when the angels started to pull. That doesn't mean that that's the way God's going to do it for you. You know, so the way that God's going to do it for you is not your concern. Your concern is what God should do for you. When the blind man came to Jesus, Jesus said, "What shall I do for you?" He said, "Lord, that we may receive our sight." What? Whether the Lord speaks the word, or whether he makes clay, or whether he tells you go and wash, whatever, that's up to him. But you must receive your sight. That's what you need. So ladies and gentlemen, we are all going to tap into the anointing right now. We're going to tap into the anointing. Praise the Lord. Now, the anointing that we are going to tap into today is going to be the words that I will speak. I will lead the charge, because the Lord said go through, prepare ye the way of the people. So I'm leading the charge today, and what I want you to do, and what the Lord wants you to do, is to tap into the anointing that is released today to open the gates for you. And once the gates are opened, it will open up by itself. You must go through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I am going to pray. And this is something, this moment that we are entering into is going to change your story. Hallelujah. Now, remember, there are many things that are coinciding even at this time. Even in the constellations in heaven, there are some conjunctions and some things that come together at different times. Something is happening right here. We are at the end of the third quarter. We are about to enter into the fourth quarter. We are also at the end of our second year. We're about to enter into our third year. So there's a lot of things that are colliding in the spirit. And by these many things, God is bringing together a commandment for you. And the commandment is what he says to me, just like he said to Moses. Say to the people that they go forward. The people said, how can we go forward? You want us to go into the sea and perish? But the sea will open up before you by itself. That's right. The gates will open up to you by itself. God said, let the waters that be above the heavens be gathered together on one side and on the other side, and let the dry land appear, that my people will go over. Same thing he said at the Red Sea. And same thing he's saying for you today. Let the gates be opened for you by their own accord. But you must go through. Hallelujah. Now, open ye the gates, and let righteousness pour down from heaven. Let the heavens drop down according to the word of the Lord into this room, on this platform, in the name of Jesus. Let there be a revival of souls, an ingathering of souls, and a returning of the wayward. They'll be coming back, and God will be rejoicing. The heavens will be rejoicing, and we will be rejoicing of what God will be doing in the lives of people on this platform going forward, beginning tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord says, and I declare it in Isaiah 45 and verse 8, I declare it to you again, drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together on this platform. For I, the Lord, have created it, saith the Lord. That's number one gate that must be opened. The floodgates of heaven must open to bring forth righteousness and salvation. The next gates that will open up are the gates to your souls. And here's how the Lord declares it in the book of Psalms 24 and verse 7. Open the gates, he said, the everlasting gates, the gates that are, you know, the gateway into your soul. They need to open up so that a king of glory may come in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and open up, and let the king of glory come on into your life. In the name of Jesus, open up, ye gates. And let a king of glory come on in. And then to all the physical gates that are holding you back, the gates of brass and the bars of iron, let those gates open up of their own accord unto you that you may go through. Just like Peter and the angel, as he followed the angel when he got to the gates opened up unto them of its own accord, and they went through. Hallelujah. And the Lord says unto you today, from the place where you are right now, look to the left, right, all around you, but you must see far. You must think big. You must enlarge the place of your tent. Well, even the place of this ministry, God say we must enlarge it. Hallelujah. We must reach coast to coast. Glory to God. So God says, all that you can see is what I am going to give you. Now, what are those gates that have held you back? What are those things that you've been praying for? And it seems like the heavens are brass and rain is not, that's coming rain. Even today, it's going to rain in this room right now in the next few minutes. God will rain down righteousness. God will rain down inspiration of the Almighty. Even as we are praying, God will begin to give you inspiration. Now, those gates, it could be in the physical, it could be things, it could be relationship, finances, increase in family, increase in this and that, whatever it is. God says, let the gates be opened. Praise the Lord. So are you ready to tap into this anointing? Yeah, I've shown you all that we're going to do. And now, as I'm going to pray, I want you to tap into the anointing. And all you have to do is be in agreement. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 19, that if any two of you, you don't need three, you don't need 10, you don't need 100. You only need one more person that will believe God. And you don't need somebody who has no faith. You need somebody that's packing some real faith. And I guarantee you, I'm standing here with you, believing the Lord with you. That makes two of us. That's all you need. Now, if you can only believe, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, that all things are possible to him that believes. And what things soever you ask in prayer, Matthew 21 and 22, believing, you shall receive. Again, in Mark 11 and 23, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall have them. And again, he said, look, you can say to this mountain or to these gates, be thou open or be thou removed. And if you are not doubted in your heart, but you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, then you shall have whatsoever you said. So let me release, by the grace of God, this power to open the gates in this room today. Now, here we go. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, on this 30th day of this ninth month of this year, 2024, I declare by the word of the Lord, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Let my doctrine, even the word of the Lord that he has put in my mouth, let it drop even now as the rain. Let there be rain in this house right now. Let my speech distill as the dew as I publish the word of the Lord here. The Lord gave the word. He's looking for publishers. I stand up in the word of the Lord and in the message of the Lord today to publish the name of the Lord and the word of the Lord unto his people. Open ye the gates. Hallelujah. Let the people of the Lord go through. Let them enter in. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I command the gates, the flood gates of heaven, according to the word of the Lord, open up. and let righteousness begin to pour down. We command the gates of your souls open up and let the King of Glory come on in. As you seek first his righteousness before any other thing, we command the gates of righteousness open unto me, this gate of righteousness, that I may go in, the psalmist said. We command the gates of righteousness be open unto you. And we command all the gates of brass, all the bars of iron that the devil has used to hedge you in, hem you in. You know, when the people were in prison, they put up those gates and those bars and different things, you know. And why, you know, why is the Lord speaking of gates and brass when we are already free? Jesus said, John 8:32, if the Son of God shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. You know the truth, he said, and the truth will make you free. Well, you know, we need to be freed of all these gates and these brass and things that the devil has put to hem us in. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your freedom. Praise the Lord. As we cross over, I say unto people, that everyone that's in the sound of my voice today, go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the waters be gathered together on either side, and let the dry land appear for you to pass through. Let the gates be opened for you. That's all kinds of gates. And in a moment, I'm going to turn the prayer over to you, and you will tap into the anointing by calling for those gates in your own life. You know what the gates are. You know where you're trying to get to, and you know what's holding you back, and whatever it's holding you back. And you know, even sickness and disease will hold people back. You cannot attain the fullness of the purpose of God in your life when you are sick. You're running up and down to hospital and so forth. How can you do the things of God? You know, and you know, when the doctors give you an evil report, that can be a gate too that's holding you back. A gate that's holding you back from believing the promise of God can be the report of the doctor. And the devil will take advantage of it, turn it into medical witchcraft. That's what I call it. When they tell you, you cannot live, or you cannot do this, or you cannot do that, and this and this and this, there is no such thing in the word of God. I am the God of all flesh, saith the Lord. Is there anything that is too hard for me to do? Am I not he that called for Lazarus from the grave after 4 days? Am I not he that brought life into those dead and dry bones after many years? That's right. The Lord, he can do all these things. So when medical science tells you it's not possible, well, that's their own word. Will you take the word of the devil over the word of the Lord? That's what Eve did, and see where he got all of us. So don't take the word of medical science when they tell you that it's not possible. You can't do it. That's what they will tell you. But I guarantee you, the Lord says, yes, you can. Hallelujah. Yes, you can. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, watch over the words of your people this morning. Remember, according to Psalm 103, verse 20, the angels that excel in strength, they are waiting to hear you declare God's word. Not your word. They don't respond to your word. They only respond to God's word. Now, when you speak and declare what God already said, they're hearkening. They do God's commandments, and they're hearkening to the voice of his word. Will you give voice to God's word today? Will you declare the opening of gates for yourself? Tap into that anointing even now, this morning or afternoon, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. Don't let this pass you by. Don't let this pass you by. Now, the anointing is released upon this room. Everyone that is in here today, you have the anointing to call forth the opening of the gates for yourself. Hallelujah. for your loved ones. Hallelujah. For your children and for their children as well. The word is in your mouth. You don't need to go to heaven to bring Jesus down. You don't need to look for him in the grave. He's not there. But what saith the scripture? The word is in your mouth. So tap into that anointing and release it today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.